I'd like to say something about enlargement and how that might relate to theatre studies, my own research area. Well, first published in 1905 and reissued with new material in 1910, 15, 20, and 24, The Crux of Three Essays is perhaps best distilled in the preface to the fourth edition, published in 1920. Here, Freud reiterates that sexuality exists without aim, but not according to the pansexual mode his critics accused him of. Rather, what's at stake is the enlargement or stretching of the concept of sexuality, which can be seen to coincide with a long history of thought, reaching back from Schopenhauer to Plato. Enlargement and stretching stand out for their malleability and dynamic capaciousness, typical of Freud's topographical lexicon, but more akin to the language of manual workers, designers, or artists than Freud's otherwise forensically categorizing and classifying prose. While it may be true that few texts have expanded our concept of sexuality as much or as abruptly as Freud's, we have since witnessed the expansion of the field of sexual identities, practices, and studies, often accounted for among the proliferation of theories emerging from psychoanalysis, cultural studies, medicine, and perhaps especially queer studies, many of which weave through Noreen and Eve's clinical encounters and sexuality. As Noreen puts it in her introduction, with words that echo Freud's, quote, "Queer theorists believe that there is no normal teleology of sexual development and insist that desire and pleasure are both fluid and historically contingent, while emphasizing that a strong desire exists in queer theory to be recognized for oneself with all the messiness and incongruity that entails, rather than being reduced to the orderliness and neatness of a category that can never fully represent one's desires, because they are unrepresentable and ultimately unknowable to the conscious mind." End quote. The validation of Freud's claims to the normalcy of deviance might be best discerned by the legitimation of many of the perverse sexual identities named in the essays, as well as our heightened policing of others. Freud's sense of enlargement might also be observed in the eroticization of bodies in everyday life and representational media, in which sexuality is openly exhibited, watched, explored. Bodies are routinely extended by smartphones, around which all desire seems to begin and end. Enlargement never looked so narrow, one might argue, when libido ricochets between the eye and the thumb. The rise of transgender identities may prove to be one of the greatest challenges to Freudian conceptions of sexuality, in which narratives of the mind, body, and desire can wildly diverge. In Paul Preciado's account of transitioning in Testo Junkie, at least, the pharmacological and hormonal trump the psychic, contra many psychoanalytic and sociological theories of sexuality. What would Freud make of asexuals and so-called objectum sexuals, or the president who publicly fantasizes about building walls? Freud may have given us a language to understand the instincts, but what do we make of these drives becoming identities? Sexuality's new problem is not so much that it needs to be punitively policed, but rather grandiosely performed for an audience rather than alone or with a partner. Freud's interest in performance focuses on tragic theatre, with discussions of Oedipus, Hamlet, and Othello, for example, working to extend his thinking on sexuality, desire, law, and ethics. If Three Essays is pivotal in registering an expansion of sexuality, across many of Freud's texts, theatre plays an important role in expanding the scope of psychoanalysis. I'd like to reflect on how contemporary theatre, my own research area, might be seen to extend this work by reflecting an enlargement of both the sexual and the therapeutic in ways that figure it as an important arbiter of both. In particular, I want to highlight a trend of curating relational performance encounters in which speaking and listening, touching and feeling draw on and push against both theatrical and therapeutic conventions, extending a sense of each and contemporary understandings of sexuality and erotic life. I think here, for example, of the queer performance artist David Hoyle, who performs mainly in queer spaces, pubs, halls, festivals, theatres. Now in his late 50s, Hoyle's work has been motivated by a sense of shame carried from a different era. His personal experience of depression and resistance to the normativization of the LGBTQ community. Drawing on cabaret, performance art, and comedy traditions, Hoyle's mode is interactive, witty, sharp, controversial, and often expressly aimed at an anarchic form of group therapy. In the series Dave's Drop-In Centre, performed at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, for example, Hoyle invited attendees to take a seat next to him on stage and reflect publicly on their private lives. If Hoyle's practice represents a lively intervention into a highly performative and public sexual context, performances by Adrian Howells, who died in 2014, marked a tentative, de-escalated, private exchange of touch, thought, and feeling. A gay performer, Howells pioneered intimate one-to-one performance encounters, drawing on both religious and therapeutic ideas of confession and associated absolution or healing, sometimes adopting his drag persona, Adrienne. Adrienne's dirty laundry experience was set in a working laundrette, and the small audience assembled were encouraged to share their untold stories, or dirty laundry, as their actual clothes were being washed. In Salon Adrienne, set in a hairdressing salon, Howells washed each participant's hair while also prompting discussion about their self-perception. Howells washed our feet in foot washing for the soul, inquiring about our well-being and sense of service. Rachel Blass, reading three essays, emphasizes the risks of reducing sexuality to an expression of object relatedness, suggesting that, quote, more has to be brought out in psychoanalytic thinking and practice regarding the very physical sexual texture of relatedness, end quote. This physical texture calls to mind the widening aspirations of Adam Phillips when he suggests that psychoanalysis might be approached as a form of practical poetry, or what Tim Dean describes as an experiment in conversation. In the two examples of Hoyle and Howells, I'm interested in how performance intervenes two sexual poles, which are themselves extreme extensions of Freud's conceptualizations in three essays. One in which sexuality is named performative, public, social, and the other in which it is tentative, withheld, private, isolated. However, I'm inclined to think that performance, and this may be true of other artistic practices too, proposes that conventional therapeutic spaces and forms cannot quite contain these diverse sexual subjects and experiences, thus challenging, recycling, even expanding conventions of therapy, theatre, and the sexual. Sexuality's enlargement in this context might also mark therapy's undoing, or at least its diffusion, and the reworking of its strategies among diverse social groups with interactive or relational artistic practices. Thank you.
Thank you, Vincent.